Amen. Glad I started. And I got started in the year of Jubilee, the last one. You know, we're in the year of Jubilee right now. Still looking for something major significant in Israel during this time. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. But we got to keep going. We haven't made it yet. Hallelujah. It's good to see each one of you here. For whatever effort you have made to be here, I trust the presence of the Lord will more than reward you for coming. Amen. It's been a good day in camp meeting. Appreciate the ministry of our fellow brethren here. And I'm just feasting in my own soul. This is better, brother, than when you have to preach twice yourself. Not just that you're preaching once, but you get to hear the ministry of others. Amen. You get seed thoughts and rabbit trails and hound dogs and praise the Lord. Well, I want to give you an invitation tonight, not from me, but from someone else to you. I've put out an invitation. Now, this is my personal invitation. I've given a personal invitation to President Trump. Was filling out these in a certain place, and they were saying, let's, if you support President Trump, then fill this out and send it to him. Well, I told him I appreciate what he is doing. I was praying for him, and I told him, now you just come by. I haven't heard from him yet. My son and daughter-in-law have been bought a new smoker. Electric smoker and probe in the meat, and you get that up to 160 or 63, and I'm telling you, they can fix as good a ribs as you'll eat anywhere. I told her the other day, I said, now when President Trump comes by, he needs some encouragement, so I've invited him by. I said, you can fix supper for us. So. Well, I do want to give you a serious invitation, though. Amen. I invite you to stand for the reading of the Word. If you don't care to, don't feel like you're obligated, you're fine. Unless I'm hurting, I look forward when the preacher says, let's stand and read the Scripture. Matthew chapter 16. Now this is the first time I brought a timepiece with me if I don't forget to look at it. I'm going to try to do better. Verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, that's up north of Sea of Galilee, asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, oh, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? I say to you tonight, it's not what others are saying about Jesus. What is Jesus to you tonight? Amen. Simon Peter threw a double ringer, answered and said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, little rock, and upon this rock, big rock, this confession that he's the Son of God, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to preach to you tonight there from those words. Jesus said, I will build my church. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we do bow before you right now. Thankful to be in camp meeting in this nice air-conditioned facility. We have no reason to run, jump, but the Lord, you brought us here, and we've gathered two or three in your name, and we pray that you will just accomplish your purpose in our midst tonight, in Jesus' name and for souls. Amen. Amen. I will build my church. I, Christ. Don't try to do it without Him. He's the only one that is said there in Matthew 28 and verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. The therefore goes back to because all power is given unto me. Amen. He has all power. And he said, I'll build my church. And thank God we can get in on it. But he's the builder. Praise the Lord. He said, I will. Regardless of the opposition, I will. Huh. You know, he expected opposition. We should too. We're not going to take ground from the devil and whistle a tune and you know, like the cobra does, that hip or something. Hypnotized. Thank you, brother. I stuttered when I was a kid, and sometimes I can still stutter. No, there will be opposition. He's expecting it, and we might as well. I've come to a deepening conviction the devil doesn't like me, and I don't like him. Song in our songbook number 56. Yes, I know. Yes, I know. Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. One of the phrases in that last verse: though earth hinders and hell rages, but he said, "I will build my church." Yeah. Yeah. Amen. It's good. It's good to be on the winning side. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And when it seems like you're kind of down on the count, just remember, still, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Sometimes we're kind of like Vicky's cousin up in Iowa. He was a wrestler and actually became the Iowa State wrestler when he senior year of college. Big old boy. But he was put up again, a great big old black boy. And it looked like the black boy was working him over. But in the end, he got the pin and got the championship. And later, you know, after the get together, and his dad was there, and he said, boy, wasn't sure how that was going to come out. And Kevin said, oh, I knew I'd get him. And his dad said, well, you're the only one. Sometimes, you know, we can be in the tussle. Lord, you brought us through before, but how are you going to get us through this one? I don't know. I'm not old yet. I'm just an old-looking young fella. Yeah, he agrees. He's up there. Yeah. Thank you, brother. When you get retirement age, well, the devil's given you enough trouble, I guess he probably gives up on you then. Is that right? You mean we got to keep fighting him? In fact, sometimes it seems like the devil just cranks it up and heats it up. We take comfort sometimes from the battle and the promise he'll not put more upon us than we're able to bear. We just thought we had all we could. But he said he wouldn't let more come upon us. So we know it has come through him. So we're depending on more grace than we've had before. Amen. And still expecting the victory. Praise God. You know, the church, Jesus has built his church most of the time through not so favorable circumstances or governments. You look where the church started with the Roman Empire against them. There, the Colosseum still stands today. In its broken state, and yet it stands there, when I see it, of an empire that went down, but those who they killed and testified for their faith, it stands as a testimony to those who overcame. Praise the Lord. One of those who was taken and died in Rome was Ignatius. He was the bishop of Antioch. Antioch's where they first were called Christians. Antioch was a strong Christian center of the early church. I was reading some of after Ignatius, and this writer said, really, we don't know much about him before he was condemned in Antioch to be killed in Rome. And they said that he would not go by sea, but to march over land. Now, I don't know what they had in mind. I can tell you what God had in mind in it. We don't know much about Ignatius before that, only that he was the bishop of this strong Christian center. But his letters written to churches, and as he testifies to this one and that one, and as they slowly progress through the months towards Rome, his influence was building, not waning. And literally all of Christendom was caught up with the reports of where he is and what's happening. And it was a climactic an event. Praise the Lord. He got to Rome and offered his freedom. He welcomed the wrangling of bones. Huh? I guess the wild condemned to the wild beast. Welcome wrangling of bones. Praise God. Tertullian. He died in 110. Tertullian, I believe it was 156. He's the one who made this statement. Every man who sees it, a martyrdom, is moved with some misgiving and is set on fire to learn the reason. Why would these people choose to die when they can go free? He inquires, and he is taught. And when he has learned the truth, he will instantly follow it himself as well. That led him to go on to that statement that is more well known. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Glory to God. when his condemnation day came, time came, and he was condemned to be burned at the stake, and his followers and fellow Christians wanted to hide him and rush him off. Here's what he said. If he, Christ, wants me to burn alive, I am here. Praise the Lord. That's how this gospel message was established and promoted. There were literally millions that were slain in the up to 313 AD. Then there became the time of the papacy, and the church went through a different time. But it wasn't imperial Rome killing the Christians now. It was Roman papacy who was killing the Christians. Millions. But that's not the end of the story. Jesus said, I will build my church. I will build my church. God put on the heart of Martin Luther, how ridiculous. Well, he started searching in his soul for something more than he was getting. And so his confessor father sent him down to Rome and all of the things, and keeping a tally of all the years out of purgatory by the things he kissed and saw and everything else. But he said, when I left Rome, I was more convinced than ever that there was no answer for my soul in Rome. We haven't got to go through that. But Luther did for us. In the searchings of his heart, when he came across that scripture there, the just shall live by faith, Romans 1:17, he said it was like a light that illumined my soul. It put all the questions aside. It focused him on the belief that the just shall live by faith. Praise God. Now, since I was so thrilled with Luther, I found out since then he didn't get everything right. But he sure got that right. And he started a fire that went across Europe. On October 31st, 1517, he nailed the 95 reasons why the Pope and the Church could not forgive sins through indulgences. And he nailed it on the Catholic Church door. He wanted to make sure that he saw it. Well, he saw it all right. Condemnation went out on his head. But God had another way. And you know the story of the Reformation. God was building his church. That went on. We see in the days of the Wesley. When the spiritual level was so destitute in England. Through some young college boys who began to seek a holy God and what His will was for them. You know, that'll always do something for you. Do something for us today if we ask the same questions. Did Wesley create and establish the message of holiness? No. But he brought it up out of obscurity and out of the twilight zone and made it into a burning light that carried the message around the world. It came to our shores. Methodism became a burning fire. It's a thrilling story to read of early Methodism here in America and how it swept the country and literally sought out every wagon trail that went across the prairies. Praise God. Said, I will build my church. The communist Lenin, Stalin, Mao, Pol Pot, Castro. The communists thought they could stamp it out and do away till there would be no more. But we've lived long enough to see Lenin's statue coming down. We've seen Christianity blossom even in countries where communism has been. It's estimated, I don't know, I know one time it was estimated 50 million in China. Well, I say glory. The underground church is still receiving tremendous pressures and suffering church and martyrdoms under communism today. We hear more about the Muslim, but the communists are still causing much heartache and suffering to the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. Glory to God. Hitler thought he had the final solution for the Jews. Well, he got about half of them, and it was a sad deal the way that Hitler went. Hitler failed to read in the Bible where it's God said, I've made a covenant with the sun, I've made a covenant with the moon, I've made a covenant with the day, I've made a covenant with the night, and I made a covenant with David. As long as there's a sun up there by day and a moon by night, God's covenant with David still stands. Hitler missed it. He didn't get the job done. The Antichrist is going to miss it. He's not going to get the job done. Amen. Jesus is still going to sit on the throne of David and set things right in this whole world. Glory to God. Muslims of our day, Jesus said, I will. ISIS, probably none of us would be thrilled to have an ISIS bunch come in here and do what they do. We've heard all kinds of stories. You know what God says? I'll build my church. Oh, in America and maybe some other countries, but oh, not Syria, not Iraq, oh, not Iran. They are our great enemies. They're going to bomb us. A Christian pastor, Nanny, were you in that group that went to Branson? Down to that Voice of the Martyrs? You were there? There was a pastor, this was about a year ago or so, pastor from Tehran. He said there's never been a greater day for Christianity in Iran. Boy, I haven't heard that on any newspapers. No, it's the wrong kind of news, but on the real news, never had a greater day. Praise God. He said the mosque will have their faithful few, but the Christians, they're gathering together in little hide places and houses and all. Never had a greater day. Woo, glory. Read a story about a Muslim lady in Syria. And Jesus appeared to her. Now, I'm going to tell you one story about the appearance of Jesus, but this is across the ISIS world. Jesus is appearing to Muslims. They're trying to keep out His word. They're trying to keep out His missionaries. They're trying to silence. They're trying to make it. But they can't keep out Jesus. He said, I will. And He's doing it even in 2017. Glory to God. But there are hundreds, thousands of witnesses of Jesus' appearances. This lady told that Jesus appeared to her in night. She went and talked to her friend. Oh, she said, He appeared to me too. She said, in fact, we have a group of those that He's appeared to. There was a little Christian group. Well, now mama is set as kind of estranged from daddy and the son and the teenage daughter. A little while later, one morning at breakfast, the teenage daughter came weeping to the table, said, "Mommy, he appeared to me too. I'm going with you tonight." A few days later, the son said the same thing. The father too became a Christian. It was such a hot spot, there was no way to hide it for too long. They were a wealthy family. One of the uncles came and gave a warning, said, they're going to come after you, and it may be tonight. Said, "You need to flee. You need to get out of here. They're coming to kill you." The father told the family, "You go on. Go try to make it to Jordan, to the refugee camps." And he said, "I'll settle up some business and try to secure a little bit of finances for us." And he said, "And I'll find you in Jordan." They left that night. He went in hiding. Later on, they found him and did the ISIS thing. But the mother and the two children hid by day, walked by night. God protected them, took care of them. And one day they crossed the Jordanian line and went into a refugee camp. There they found some Christian relief and others who had come from other places, who had seen the same Jesus. Oh, I thrill when I hear that. Yeah. It's made me look different at the Muslims. It's made me pray for the dear Muslim people. One Arab man said, he said that these radical Muslims, he said they're destroying our Arab culture. Well, Jesus said, "I will." Not maybe. He said, "I'll build." Strong says that build is as the building of an architect. It's not slapping just something together. I mean, it's doing her good, doing her right, doing her strong, doing it to stand. Praise the Lord. I will build my church, and I'm going to build it right, and I'm going to build it where it'll stand. Glory to God. Richard Wurmbrandt, the very cell where they had him, I believe it was 14 years, his wife 7 years, but he was 14 years in the cell he was in. Romania, went back there years later, and there's a gospel printing thing, printing gospel literature right there in the very cell where he used to be. God said, "I'll build my church." Story from a POW in North Vietnam and during the Vietnam conflict. And he said they were mean and torturous. And someone had slipped a Bible and the guard, this meanest guard there was, had finally found the Bible and took it. And for utter shame to them and their God, he started using it for toilet paper. Well, now that's to us very blasphemous. But when the devil's trying his worst, sometimes God's doing his best. There was a man who was sent in to clean. It was part of his job was to clean this guy's. And he found him. At first he thought, "Oh, no." And then he thought, "I'll clean them up." It's hard to hide a Bible.
But one page can just go all over the place. Started passing a page around, it'd move around the cells, start moving past another. A revival broke out in that prison. God said, I'll build my church. Gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Glory be to God. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. Said they were not a people, but are now the people of God. What is it? It's the blood of Christ that brings us. I've had the wonderful privilege of being raised in a Christian home. Some of you know the different ones of the Poes. Some places you go, they say Brother Poe. They're talking about Winfield. Sometimes they're talking about Irvin. Sometimes they're talking about James. When Brother Randall here talks about Brother Poe, he's talking about my grandpa Pearl. There was a lot of preaching Poes. I grew up around all those influences. Thought of Sister Turner's testimony. She didn't have the privileges I had. Daddy lived above the bar, and she grew up with the honky-tonk music and laughter and fighting and the yelling and what all goes on. That's where she grew up. She never had those wonderful influences I've had on my life. But God found her. She became one of the people. He washed her up, cleaned her out. Amen. Glory to God. My mother-in-law here, her family was a totally unchurched family. All she knew about Jesus was a swear word. God brought influences in. She didn't have to accept those influences. She could have reverted back to the way of her family. But God brought her in. When she heard of the holiness way, it wasn't a rejection. Like Uncle Buddy said, he said when he heard his first gospel message preached by Godby out down in Texas. He heard that, well, he was a Christian, but he'd never heard of holiness. He said he heard Godby talking about holiness. He thought, that's too good to be true. Now that's altogether different than a holiness fighter. Too good to be true. He thought, but if God can do it for one man, He might do it for another. Became a seeker after holiness. Oh, glory to God. God's purpose never changes. He made man holy in Genesis chapter 1. In His image and holy. Just because sin came in chapter 3 did not change God's purpose. In 1 Peter, let me look here. No, it's 2 Peter. Chapter 1 and verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Somebody figured up 8,810. I didn't count them. If you have, you might light me further. That's what they came up with. These great and precious promises. That by these, there's a purpose in all this. What is the purpose? That ye be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, partakers of His divine nature. Of course, that's a holy nature. Not just observers. Not just giving your assent or approval to, well, yeah, but that you be partakers. All of those 8,810 promises are for you to be a partaker of His divine nature. You hold that little one in your arms tonight. Jesus died on the cross long ago, suffered without the gates, that He might sanctify that little one with His blood. Praise the Lord. God's program, four aspects of holiness, initial sanctification when we're saved. It's when it begins. We get out of the sin business. God regenerates our heart. He puts a once to in our heart for the things of God. Names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Woo, glory. You're a child of God. Amen. God kept reminding Israel over and over about the Red Sea. Just because they got across doesn't mean to forget it. He reminded of that on down through Scripture hundreds of years later. Amen. We remember when He took us out of Egypt, took us out of sin. No longer a slave. Glory to God. Well, bless His name. Second aspect, God's program is the entire sanctification, or the second work of grace. Oh, you say, is this for the holiness? No. This is God's will for everybody. The whole 7 billion people that are alive today, it's just part of God's program. Amen. That we be holy. God never said you can go on sinning. He said if you're sin, you're a child of the devil. He came to destroy the devil. He condemns sin in the flesh. He made it so we can now then being made free from sin. That's God's plan for everybody. That's what He died on the cross, ransom for all. Amen. Glory be to God. Thankful for the privilege I've had of being around great holiness people. But if this is your first time to ever hear the word holiness or enter at a holiness meeting, I want to tell you something, friends. You're just as much God's love and His plan for you is just as much for you as anyone else. Glory be to God. There's the ethical side of holiness, how we live it day by day. Why, it's an important part. God has a lot to say. And put the principles around us of separation from the world and separated to Him and how to live a holy life. Glory to God. And then the fourth aspect is the maturing of holiness. Or the progressive, as holiness gets more. That's where we differ from the Keswicks. Keswicks are always trying to grow into it. Seek after it. No, there's an initial cleansing and then there's a maturing afterwards. Amen. Like the little apple tree. Hey, we had some good apple crunch tonight for supper. That apple tree, you know, little apple tree, he's just as much apple as a big one. His 100% is just as 100% and pure as the big one. But don't go set your bushel under him expecting him to fill it. But he's just. Oh, glory to God. You know how I've had apple trees. I've never seen them grow. You can't visibly watch them grow. They just grow. And, you know, this year's more than last year and more apples or whatever. Amen. You just keep your face to God. You keep yes in your way. You, as we heard today about delighting in God. Oh, wasn't that wonderful? Don't you love Him? Amen. I thought of that song, serve Thee as the host above. Amen. God can so tune our hearts and lives till we can be just as a good servant and a holy servant as the angels above. We can serve Him here just as much, delighting in Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, that's been with me all day. I finally got it said. Amen. Well, thank God for holiness. God uses all kinds of ways, unusual ways. Some are bombastic. Some are quiet as mouse. Let me tell you how God leads His work on. A burdened, burning heart. Sometimes we can get in conference and we look for, well, let's see, who has the greatest credentials here? Who has this or that or the other? You know what? If you want to accomplish God's part, try to find the person that God's already put the burden and the burning for. They're the ones that will get God's part done. I've learned that the hard way. Remember little Lucy came to our church there at Tobleville, New Guinea. You talk about quiet as a mouse. I don't think she could yell. When you ask her name, you had to almost bend down. She was one of those little short ones under 5 foot two, brother. About 4'8", 4'9". You had to lean down to hear what she had to say. She came in, was having service at that time under another fellow's house, and she heard us singing, and she was a Catholic girl. Heard us singing and preaching and testifying, and she would go out on the porch next door and listen. She was there just visiting her sister. One night she slipped in. She started coming after that. She declared that she had given her heart to the Lord. She was going to serve Him. Quiet, but with determination. No emotion, but determination. One day in her quiet little way, she stood up and said, "It's time for me to go." She said, "I'm going to go start a church back in my village." That's it. She left. We got a request. Could we send her some Bible and song books? Their church was going. Amen. This went on for a little while. I thought, you know, I think I'm going to go by and check on Lucy. It was a good hour by airplane, so you didn't just go. It was 2 hours walking after the plane dropped you off around Lumi. We go back down there. I mean, the sweat was, this is down near the coast, just in from Itape. It was hot, sweating. The sweat was still pouring and gave us some water to drink. Had a fire there for us. They always have a fire. That's part of warmth. That's part of fellowship. You know, it's not how hot or cold you are. It's just part of warmth. So I was away from the fire drinking some water, and here comes a fella in. He grabs this paper. He said, "This is from the priest up on the hill." And he reads this paper as official as he can read it and with the authority that he can read it. Her brother, that wasn't even a Christian, walked over there and said, "Let me see that paper." He grabbed it and wadded it up and threw it in the fire. He says, "That's what we think of your priest and his paper." That guy takes off. A few minutes later, here comes a whole troop, including Mr. Priest. I mean, he's giving us the lowdown. Little Lucy, her short... Now, she's a woman against her. She's young against her. She's quiet against her. She walked very slow, unthreatening, almost submissively, and walked over to that guy, and here she is, and he's up here. And she got right up to him. And she starts talking to him just like this. We couldn't hear a word she is saying. He just kept a-talking, just ignoring her. And I don't know what she is saying, but pretty soon his face got red. I see a red shirt back here. Now this is, he wasn't a black man, a brown man, a New Guinean, a brown New Guinean. Some are black, some are brown, some are light. He was a brown one, but he turned red. I don't know what she told him. I'm not so sure it's what she told him, but the power that was in her, greater than he that is in the world, he was up against something he had never been up again. Finally, he shuts up. He looks down at her with a stern face. And then a little bit, his stern face went away. He started listening. He said, "You can stay this time, but don't come back." And out he marched, and all of his group followed him. That's been 25 years ago. There's two churches there now. The pastor in the other one left. So she pastors one and her husband pastors the other. And they come back together and live. Who would have ever thought of little Lucy? I've never seen any more stalwart faith in my life. When the pressure was on and the furnace was heated 7 times. 2013, we went back for a pastor's conference there in the western area where we were. Pastors came in. Pastor Ninjan from up Oxotman. We tried to get in there. I landed near where the church is. We couldn't get anything going. Later after we left, a guy got saved at Octetti at the church at Tobelville and went back. And then they started a church there. Well, this Pastor Ninjan was the first pastor. He said, "I got a story I want to tell you." He said, for a long time, he said, "We just struggled, just a few women, and hard. We couldn't get anybody to make the break, and it was hard trying to get a church started." One church, near Taken. He said, "One day I was going to church. I had my Bible in my arm, and a guy comes by. He runs and he says, 'Hey, hey.'" He said, "I just saw," and he called the guy's name. "I saw him steal your pig." Well, now, and a pig is an important thing in New Guinea. You buy your wife's worth so many pigs. Mine's worth a lot. I'm not sure that's a compliment in America. Yeah, I better go on. They do sacrifices to the gods. They wear their tusk. You know, around them, that means more than anything else. You get that pig tusking. He just kept walking towards church. Pretty soon, the guy that he said stole his pig comes out, whistling, putting on the extra act. He just walks up to him. He said, "So-and-so told me that you stole my pig this morning." He said, "Tell you what, you can go eat my pig, but you got to thank God for it first." Never waited for a response, just turned, went on to church. The guy's thinking, "Whoo, made that one." He goes up on the hillside, he gathers some greens, he makes a fire, he's getting these rocks together, heating these rocks. He's going to eat the pig, and about the time he decides it's about time to kill the pig, he thought, "How am I going to thank God for this? I stole the pig, and besides, it was a pastor's pig, and now I got to thank God for stealing the pastor's pig. It got so serious, he sat down. The sitting down might help you think harder. Finally, he came to the conclusion, there is no way you can thank God to steal the pastor's pig and eat it. So he puts the fire out, unties the pig, back down the mountain he goes. Here comes the pastor back from church, carrying his Bible, going home. Here, guys, there comes a guy with his pig. He says, Pastor, I brought your pig back to you. I found out there's no way you can thank God for a stolen pig. Hey, that's pretty good heathen conscience, isn't it? Pastor said, you brought back my pig and you never ate it? He said, no, here it is. Oh, the pastor said, you're such a good man. I'm so happy with you. He said, come. We'll put the pig back in its pen. They go back and they put the pig back in its little stick pen, you know. And he goes to his very prized mama pig. I think we call them sows. And he said, this is the most valuable pig I have. He said, because you're such a good man and brought back my little pig, I'm going to give you my very best pig. And the guy says, no, what's the catch? He said, no. He said, you don't even have to pray about this one. You can just have it. So the guy takes the pig. He can't believe his good fortune. He's carrying the pig. He's leading it home. Everybody, the word had already gotten around. Hey, so-and-so saw him steal the little pastor's little pig. Now here he is coming down the road with a big, where'd you get that pig? And everybody that met him had to find out where he got the big pig, and he had to tell them. Yes, sir. By the time he got home, the word was going all around the valley, Brother Dodrell.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He said the next Sunday morning his church was full, and it's been full ever since. People started saying, we want that kind of message in our village. They have 6 churches started. At that time in 2013, he said, we've got 2 more that are already partly built, and on our way out to this convention, there were 2 more villages said, will you please come build us a church in our village? Who would have thought a pig would have opened the door to the gospel? Oh, thank God for a pastor that had a forgiving, loving heart. Here he had prayed. He thought he was going to preach his way through. People were going to come because of his preaching. But it was through his forgiveness and that pig.
Yes, sir.
I want to go back there sometime. I tried to go and couldn't go. I've never been back up there. I'd like to go preach in those villages. Wouldn't that be thrilling? He told me something else. He said, oh, my church is full and running over. He said there was another pastor struggling with his church. He said, I gave him my full church. He said, I'm a seasoned pastor. I decided it'd be better for me to go over here and pastor this struggling church. I never said it, but I thought, I'm sure not taking him to America. Well, glory. God said, I'm going to build it. Pigs or whatever, I'm going to build it.
Amen.
Let's not undermine what God wants us to do. Amen. God brings happening in our lives. We must not forget. He said, I'll build my church. He owns it. It was His blood that bought it.
Amen.
I hope you've got bigger than your church. Let it be His church.
Yes.
That's the great thing.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Church is the bride of the Lamb. He's building the bride. Some buildings aren't very great. I was down at Green River. James left and went to start a church. And he called back and he said, I got five more churches going. And he said, send me more Bibles and songbooks. I thought, my, I've got to go over there and deliver these. This sounds too good. All out of the Green River, this church at Green River, and now they've got five churches that sprung up. This is all within about 3 or 4 months. So I go over there. Man, I want to see this church. We walk around a corner in the rainforest. Not this platform. I'm talking about this carpet. Maybe twice the size of this carpet. No bigger, if that's not too big. Here was a little bush hut. Posts drove in the ground, some woven blind up about that high, an air gap about that much, and then a thatch roof running off. I've never seen anybody prouder of their church. His smile was from ear to ear. He said, this is our church.
Amen.
No pastor could ever have been more proud. It's where the fire was burning. It's where God was coming down. People were getting saved. Preacher boys being called. Who's these preacher boys? Well, the first ones that got saved. Now He's giving them lessons to go take out to these new outstations. What a contrast to the Crystal Cathedral. Thing went belly up. Don't need to go into all of that. But oh, it sold for $55 million. It wouldn't have cost $55 for the nails. They didn't even use nails. It wouldn't have cost $5. They tied it all with bush ropes and everything. They didn't have any money in it. It was the engine room of where God was working and sending out. Glory to God. He said, I'll build my church. Let me tell you one more. This is not somewhere else. This is not 200 years ago. But it happened in April of 2017, just a couple months ago. Brother Doddrell has mentioned Amos Hand different times. Amos Hand's son-in-law, Terry Hayes, the pastor at Moberly, Missouri. We was coming there for revival, and this one fella, he said, Pastor, we need to have a Saturday night prayer meeting. Would you care to join me? So it was just the pastor and this guy. They go for a Saturday night prayer meeting. They announced it. Next time there was more. The highest was 40-some, but he said after that it never dropped below 25. Seven men took on a fast, a partial fast, and I'm not sure. Some of them were full meals and some of them were part meals, and I'm not sure how. Praying for two fellas to get saved. We got in that revival meeting. Let me just say, not because I was there, but I had the privilege to be there. Those Saturday night prayer meetings is what was moving the hand of God.
Amen.
Old Mike Lucas was sitting back in this area. He hadn't served God. He graduated from Mount Zion in 1969. He had made a few efforts at Bible school. I don't know if he did afterwards or not. I don't know, but he's lived most of his life a backslider. He took one step into the aisle And I mean, he burst out boo-hooing. He couldn't walk straight. He was walking like a drunk man, finding his way down to the altar just a bawling. Prayed gloriously through. I mean, you talk about turning a place loose. Here's one of them that had been praying and fasting for. He's related to Sister Bond here. After the altar service and people testifying, Mike said, he said, I want to testify. He said, I know God saved me tonight, but he said, I'm not sure when he did it. He said, I'm not sure he didn't do it when I stepped out. Oh, glory to God. I talked to Brother Hay today. I said, how Mike's a doing? Oh, he said, he's doing great. Another guy had been backslid for 20 years. His wife had been faithful. He came to church through all that time. Sat on the second seat with his wife. Out of ounce of victory. Last night of revival, he prayed through. He said he's a-going great. He won't miss a prayer meeting. He's testifying. Amen. I said, now this is what I asked him just this afternoon. I wanted to get an update report. I said, how's the prayer meeting going? Oh, he said, we wouldn't dare stop that. He told, they was running 9, 10. They were running 50, 60. They were having 9, 10. You know, sometimes church counts how many contacts this week? 9, 10. He said, church, now if we're expecting God to do something around here, we've got to help God better than that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The Saturday after revival, he said they made 181 contacts. The next day was Easter Sunday. He said we had 9 new ones.
Good, good.
Hallelujah. That kind of report gets around.
Sure.
Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about so-and-so? Something happening down there.
Yeah.
He said since that revival, the lowest Sunday morning has been 85.
Good.
I said, well, what's the highest? He said 127. Now, friends, that doesn't happen every time, but it's just happened. So why not praise God for it? Amen. I said, Pastor, I don't think I have to need to tell you to be encouraged. He said, there's not a discouraged bone in my body.
Amen. Good, good, good.
Glory to God. Well, I feel like old Ron Hershberger used to say, burn, bubble, boil. Amen. Let the fire burn. Oh, he said, I'll build my church. Amen. But friend, the invitation for us, you know, there in Revelation 19 and verse 7. Oh, I did have a timepiece, didn't I? Yeah, it's time for me to give an invitation. The bride hath made herself ready. Are you ready?
Lord.
Are you expecting someone else to make you ready? The bride hath made herself ready. It's your personal responsibility to deal with the matters of your soul.
Sure.
As God speaks to you.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Sam, you can come on up. It's my responsibility. It's your responsibility. Friend, if you're going to be in that great marriage supper of the Lamb, you're going to have to make yourself ready. Oh, yes, through the blood of Christ, appropriate through grace and all faith and all of that. But you've got to take hold of it.
Amen.
He said, I'll build my church. That bride. But I have to do my part. If I don't do my part, I'll be left out. He's going to build his church on whosoever will, not whosoever won't. But those who will. Amen. Like our dear brother preached this morning, We can delight. God can so fill us with His love. Amen. Tune our hearts till we can delight to walk with God. Shall we stand? Amen. He's building His church. That's no question. Are you in? Are you in the building? Amen. Are you in the building? Are you cooperating with Him? Is He preparing you to be that glorious bride on that presentation day? Amen. Heavenly Father, breathe over this crowd tonight. Oh God, as we wait a moment before You, as our brother sings a song, oh, help us not to miss out on the greatest privilege we have in Jesus' name. As our brother sings.
Softly and tenderly,
people will let you out. Don't think I'm hemmed in. If you want to pray, just make your way to the end of the aisle. People will step back for you. Amen. Let's come to Him. He can meet your need.
Oh,
blessed Lord tonight. My church. He's building it. Don't get left out. He's coming for a prepared bride. Amen. How is it, Grandma and Grandpa? How is it, young people?
Jesus.
Amen.
Is
He calling tonight?